Next, Outdoor Radio, a monthly feature that takes us outside to explore the natural world. Today, biologists Kent McFarland and Sarah Zahendra of the Vermont Center for Eco Studies are at the Birds of Vermont Museum in Huntington, visiting a pollinator garden.
Kent, it is a beautiful day. We are here at the Birds of Vermont Museum in Huntington, Vermont, and we're actually not here to talk about birds necessarily, right?
Nope, we're here to talk about pollinators, and today is a banner pollinator day because it's warm, it's sunny, and we're about to check out some amazing new pollinator gardens at the museum. Today we're going to meet Aaron Talmadge and Allison Gurgley, and they've been working for a couple years now to make it all happen here at the museum, to put in these new pollinator gardens and to get everybody else up and running at their houses and putting pollinator gardens in.
What's great about this particular spot is that you can see pollinator gardens that are already up and going, and you can see birds and butterflies and bees in them, and then you can see a pollinator garden that's just being started. And so this is a wonderful place to come and see exactly how it looks in all stages of creating a pollinator-friendly habitat.
Well, let's go meet up with them and see what they have to tell us.
Let's go.
I'm Kent McFarland.
And I'm Sarah Zahendra.
We're biologists with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies.
Welcome to Outdoor Radio.
Hey guys, good to see you.
Hi, thanks for coming.
We're standing on your new bridge, and below us, it looks like to me, is the place where you've already started seeding and getting going on putting in a pollinator garden area.
Yeah, so a little history behind it. In 2013, we had a flash flood that eroded most of the stream banks, took away our pathway, and eroded part of the road. And as we thought about how we were going to rebuild, we thought we don't want to just put back the way it was. We want to enhance what we have. And one of our goals was to create a pollinator garden.
What were some of your steps that might help other people do this at their house?
What we did is what we do a lot is we ask the experts. We ask people that really know what they're doing. And we've been working with nurseries.
And so when you were talking about what kind of plants that you wanted to put in your new pollinator garden, what were some of the rules that you wanted to go by?
Probably about 90% of the plants are native and 10% are ornamental. And there's two reasons for that. There are a lot of ornamentals that are beneficial to pollinators. And we also want to have some ornamentals because a lot of gardeners really like the ornamentals. And so we'd like to be able to be a demonstration site where people can come here and they can say, hey, I really like that red flower. I want that red flower in my garden. We also have the hope of having host plants for moth and butterfly larvae.
Okay.
And then that together will create habitat for small mammals, and then all those things are food for birds. So ultimately it comes back to helping the birds.
So Allison, a little bit ago when I first arrived here, you were down there and I saw you almost on your hands and knees picking out weeds. Has there been a problem with trying to keep the invasives out of here?
What we did for the winter time was put in crops that would just hold the soil down.
Yeah.
So some of those crops are seeding, and they're not really ones that we want to encourage. So we're keeping roots in, but I'm lopping off the seed heads. And that's what you saw me doing nearly on my hands and knees.
Yeah.
But it's an important piece of what we're trying to accomplish.
Well, and this garden that you're just starting isn't the only one that you all have here. I was just walking around back, and you've got all sorts of flowering plants in another pollinator garden. I found plenty of my favorite, which are bumblebees back there. And then across, there's a whole lot of flowering raspberries, and it's already to some degree a pollinator heaven that you've got going on here.
We like to think so.
Let's go around the other side, and we can talk about some of the pollinators we're seeing on some of the flowering plants over there. And then we can go talk about what you need to have in your garden and your meadows for pollinators as we're finding
them. And not just butterflies. We're talking all sorts of pollinators here. Everything from bees to flies, even.
Flies, the ignored pollinator.
I know.
They
do a great job, too.
So, yeah, let's go over to the old gardens and check it out. Aaron, earlier you were calling this a pollinator pocket, which I thought was awesome. And it's just, we're standing in front of a tiny little 5-foot by 2-foot bed of some pollinator flowers, and you can hear this bumblebee hammering around, this queen bee.
She's been here for probably an hour, just over and over these same flowers, collecting pollen and nectar, and it's beautiful to watch.
The great thing about this pollinator pocket, you can do this anywhere. This could be right outside your kitchen window, right outside your front door, and there's been bumblebees on this constantly.
Well, and that's the great thing about talking about how to change your habitat around your house for pollinators is that it's not difficult to do.
No.
Really, anybody can do it. There may be two or three things that you need to think about, but even a small patch of flowers is going to be helpful to pollinators.
We keep talking about pollinators, and we're mostly talking about bees because, well, Sarah, you love bees.
Because I love bees, that's right.
And I love butterflies. But in thinking about bees, we're talking about over 300 species of native bees known in Vermont. There's a lot of different bees. You know, we think about nice, beautiful bumblebees. We think about
honeybees.
The non-native honeybees where we get our sweetness from. But there's a whole bunch of tiny little native bees that are all over the place.
Let's go over across the street where all the flowering raspberry is and see if we can find some bees and butterflies.
Let's check it out. The black raspberry is flowering like mad. We're going to find a ton of bees on there.
Oh, yeah.
You're already running ahead of us, Sarah.
That's one of the great things about some of these native plants is they don't just attract one thing. And so when you're thinking about what you want to plant or what you don't want to mow, think about something like flowering raspberry, because it doesn't just attract one species of bee. There are probably, over 100 pollinators that come to this one plant. Oh, look, there you go, flies. Flies are the unsung heroes of the world of pollination. Nobody likes them, but they do a great job of pollinating.
Oh, here comes one towards you. It's
What?
It was like the size of a pinhead. I mean, it's a tiny little bee.
Oh, there it is. Look, there he is.
Shiny metallic back.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is probably what?
Millimeter?
Yeah, it's tiny. And that's a bee, huh?
Tiny, yeah, that's a bee. And a lot of these bees are solitary. We think of bees as having big colonies and making honey and, you know, workers and drones. But most of these bees are solitary. And so a lot of them will nest in holes in trees and in stems and even in the ground as well.
Even on that minute bee when we were looking at it just now, I mean, my eye was a couple inches from it, and I could see a couple pollen grains on the hairs of that thing.
They do a great job of pollinating. Plus, they're beautiful creatures. They really are.
A lot of times we talk about pollination, and we're going pollinator this, pollinator that. What's a pollinator? They're getting two things here. One is they're getting the nectar.
It's like their energy food. It's like gummy bears.
It's like Gatorade for bees.
Yeah, Gatorade for bees.
And then the other thing is the pollen. And the plants obviously want to exchange the pollen back and forth between the flowers to make seeds and fruit.
Bees carry pollen in different parts of their body. Bumblebees carry pollen loaves, we call it a pollen loaf, on their hind legs. And different bees carry them on their stomach. And they've got hairs all over their body that collect these pollen grains so that they can take them back to their offspring and feed it to them as a protein source.
So native pollinators are incredibly valuable, and a lot of the stuff that are in the grocery store, like chocolate and coffee, but even things like apples and these black raspberries would be gone without pollinators. So,
you know, I'm glad you make that point, because I'm sitting here looking at them thinking, wow, these are just cool insects to look at, but there is value to them.
Exactly. It's an economic service.
Absolutely.
Well, Erin, thanks a lot for the tour. It's going to be really exciting over the next few years to see these gardens come into their full glory, and can't wait to come back, you know, every year and check out what's going on here with the birds and the butterflies and the bees.
Well, and as it is, the way things are right now, there's still tons of things to see. There we saw, I don't even know how many bees and some butterflies and tons of flies pollinating as well.
Well, thank you both for coming. We really enjoyed having you, and we definitely think you should come back.
I'm Sarah Zahendra.
And I'm Kent McFarland.
Thanks for listening to Outdoor Radio.
Let's go find some more bees.
Yeah, butterfly boy. You haven't found many butterflies, have you?
You can learn more about pollinators and how you can plant your own pollinator paradise at vpr.net. Outdoor Radio is produced in partnership with the Vermont Center for Eco Studies with support from the Byrne Foundation.